Hey, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona. And we are so excited that God has given us the opportunity to minister to you far and wide on BPN Radio. It is a great day, and we are excited. We're grateful that God has given us that opportunity. As many of you may know that I'm totally blind. I do a special needs watch on Thursdays at 1 o'clock and at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. But I tell you what, I just appreciate Pastor Dale and giving us the opportunity to minister and preach like this. And so today I'm going to minister to you a little bit in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. And we're going to talk about the man of God, and we're going to talk about the prophet and what have you. So I have Paul. He's going to read the scripture for me from 1 through 9 and then verse 24 and of this 13th chapter of 1 Kings. And if we get started there, okay?
And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be buried on you. And he gave a sign of the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel. Then he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand which he stretched out towards him withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return the same way to Bethel.
Oh, that is a great message. I'll tell you what, 1 through 10 in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. And I'll tell you what, you know, we just need to really pay attention to what that scripture says. Now, Paul, read that 24th verse now.
So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he had saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse.
Right. Well, thank you, Paul. I really appreciate that. I tell you what, this is a really great passage in the Word of God. And I tell you what, when you really look at this and you understand what is happening here, the prophet, actually the young man, was sent by God. It doesn't say that he was a prophet, but probably he was in training or something to be a prophet. But he comes to Jeroboam there, and he begins to tell what's happening. And, you know, he told him, he says, that the altar is going to split apart, and, you know, the ashes are going to come of the priest and what have you are going to flow out. And, you know, Jeroboam raises his hand. He says, you know, arrest that guy. And, you know, as soon as he did, his hand withered and it stayed in one place. And I can just see at hand as he pointed out, and it just hung there, you know. He couldn't move it or anything. Well, he intrigued the young man and asked him, says, entreat God or ask God to heal this hand. And he did. And it anyway, then Jeroboam tried to bribe him. He tried to bribe him into coming, you know, I'll give you money. And, you know, come to my place and I'll feed you and what have you. And the young man said, no. Hey, I'm not supposed to be. I'm not supposed to stay in this place. I'm not supposed to eat anything. I'm not supposed to drink anything. And I'm supposed to go a different direction than I came. And so the young man left. He was going a different direction than what he was, what he had come. And as he was coming, as he was going, here was the old prophet that was in there, that basically the old prophet heard from his sons or somebody that, the young man had come from God, and that he was, you know, had prophesied and what all had happened and everything. And, this was an interesting story because you look at this, the old man, the old prophet, you know, he was, cold in his spirit. He was, a shell of a prophet. He didn't, you know, conjured up the different things here in between here. I'm going to paraphrase this. And, basically he, got on his donkey and he began to look for that, young man. And he was going to intrigue him or invite him to come to his place and what have you. And so he went, he found him, and he started talking to him. And he says, I want you to come to my house and have food and what have you. And the young man, he says, no. He says, I'm not supposed to drink anything. I'm not supposed to do anything in this polluted land. And I need to go on down the road. And, you know, and this old prophet, he conjured up all of this stuff in his mind. And he says, you know, I just had an angel come to me and tell me that, that you were here and I was supposed to go and contact you and invite you to my house and, that you were to come and, eat and drink and what have you. And, so anyway, he talked him into coming to his house. He said, you need to come on. And so he did. He went to his house, and he began to eat, and he drank. And I could tell the young man was having some second thoughts about it, I'm sure. But they were, you know, telling about the miracles. Each one of them was, you know, the old prophet was telling, you know, about the healings that he had, about the miracles that had taken place in his life. And, you know, it's just an interesting thing. The old prophet was really, you know, rehearsing everything that he'd ever been through. And that's all he could do. He was looking at the past. He didn't have anything to show for the present. And this young man, he was, you know, also, you know, he was telling him, you know, oh, yeah, I had this kind of miracle and that kind of miracle. And I'm sure that he was talking about what happened at the altar, you know, at Jeroboam and what have you. I'm sure that he rehearsed that before the old prophet. And he wanted to know, you know, what was going on, how it happened and what have you. Well, you know, something happened. The young man, the old prophet was trying to get him to, the young man to stay with him overnight. And the young man, it dawned on him. He says, I can't stay in this polluted land any longer. I'm not supposed to have been drinking or eating or anything. I need to go. And so he gets on his donkey and he heads out. And so anyway, the old prophet, is spoken to, and he says, you know, God tells him, you know, that you really influenced this individual, and you shouldn't have done that. And I just see this something happening here. You know, this young prophet, he was not, he was listening to somebody that he thought was a good influence. Are we being a good influence to everyone around us? Are we being an influence to our young people? Are we being a good influence to our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids? I just feel like that there is something about America that we're having a breakdown of the family. All across this United States, there is a breakdown taking place in our family group and what have you. I just feel like that there is something We've allowed the old devil to distract us. I keep going back to the Paul Harvey's story, prophecy back in 1965, when he prophesied all of the things that if I were the devil. And if you want to look that up on YouTube, you can look it up and just put in there, if I were the devil. And Paul Harvey began to prophesy, and he said, if I were the devil, I would get people so involved in activities and what have you, I'd get them so far in debt they'd be using their credit cards and what have you, that they didn't have time to take time to have family time. They had to work and just keep going and going and going. And they started working on on Sunday. They started instead of taking time to go to church, people would start doing football games and activities and what have you. We used to on Wednesday night. You never heard it back in the 50s and 60s when I was growing up. There was nothing happening on Wednesday night. It was always a Monday, Tuesday night, or a Thursday or Friday night at school, and maybe a Saturday for a track meet, but it never was on a Sunday. And we see all of these things happening on weekends and Wednesday nights. They don't make any time for, fellowship and having time with their family and what have you. And these kids are following us. And what kind of example or what kind of influence are we leaving with these kids and their grandkids? I just feel like that we just, this old prophet, he was just, trying to basically feed off of this young prophet, young man that was from God. I tell you what, he was really, I'm sure that he really felt the anointing, and he wanted the anointing once again, but he didn't have it. And but anyway, as that young man got on his donkey and he left, he had been disobedient. And see, when we're disobedient and we fall into some areas of disobedience, we've got to pay the consequences. And this young man, as he went along, there was a lion that came out and he killed the young man. And he something happened to the old prophet. Somebody came along and he said, they told him, hey, that young man that you just had at your house? A lion came out and killed him, and he's over there on the road. Well, this prophet, he got on his donkey and he went going up the road. And sure enough, when he got there, here was the lion was standing over the young man. He had not eaten him. He hadn't eaten a donkey. Donkey was standing right there. And you never hear of anything like that. A lion will always eat whatever they kill. And so anyway, we know that it was from God, that this lion was commissioned by God to go and kill that young man because of his disobedience. I feel very, very strong about influence. We look at, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, when God gave Eve to Adam, there was an influence that took place. When Eve went to look at the fruits all around, here come up a snake and, the old devil, and he enticed her. He says, if you eat of this tree, God had done told him, says, you don't eat of the tree of good and evil over here. And so they had never eaten of that tree, but the old devil influenced her. He says, if you eat of that tree, you'll be like God. And that had intrigued her so much that she took hold of one of the whatever it was, the fruit of it, and she ate of that, and she took one, and she took it to Adam, and he ate of it. And see, she, you know, he didn't even ask, you know, where did that fruit come from or anything. But, you know, it was a very delicious fruit. And when they opened, when they got through eating it, their eyes was open and they began to look around. And all of a sudden they realized that they were naked, and they went and they got some leaves, you know, made a thing to clean them up or go cover them up and what have you. And so anyway, we see something that is influence there. And, you know, we as fathers, as grandfathers and what have you, as husbands and wives, we're influencing our children. And see, this young man, he was disobedient. And, you know, here is an interesting thing. This old prophet, he picks up this man. He begins to, you know, feel like, you know, hey, I have led this young man astray. And he realizes he've led that man astray. And he goes and he takes that man and he puts him, he tells him, he says, let's put him in my tomb, in my place where I have bought, and lay him in that tomb. And you know what? He tells an interesting story that happens right now. In that scripture, it says that basically, you know, this, when I die, he says, I want you to put me right here in this tomb, right beside or on top of him or right beside of him. And I want you to mark it that here is the prophet, and here is also the young man, the young prophet. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. Are we following somebody? Are kids following somebody? Are they being intrigued and led astray by the kids at school? Do we have a solid foundation for these kids? I'm so concerned about our young people in America that they are being led astray. And we've got to pray for them. We've got to believe God is going to minister to them. We see so many of them that are committing suicide, the drug scene and what have you. And, you know, I don't remember exactly how many, teenagers that are, committing suicide every day in America. Because they don't have a purpose. They don't have any goals. They feel like that everything that around them is totally gone. Life is not even worth living. And, you know, they need to read, you know, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I tell you what, that is a great book to read. I just believe that a lot of people that are in prison and what have you, the reason that they're there, they just, they have no purpose in their lives. They never had any good leadership. They never had a good leadership in their fathers or their grandfathers. No example that would help them to live a strong Christian life. And so they have gone astray. They wound up stealing little things, you know. It's interesting, you know, young people start stealing things when they're real young. And if their lives are not changed, by the time they get to be a teenager, they will take anything that they feel like they want. And it's wrong. And the Bible tells us the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not steal. And then they'll turn right around and they'll lie right to your face and say, I didn't do that. And you might even have them on camera. And they still lie to you. It's totally amazing to me. And I just pray that God will minister to our young people across this nation, that he'll touch their lives and minister to them in a mighty way. I want to tell you a story here. There was a man that was a prominent lawyer in Chicago. He was very, very prominent, and he had a great business, and he lived right downtown Chicago, and his office was, just right there real close to where he lived at. But on the way, there was a bar, a club there. And so anyway, every morning he would go in and he would have his drink, and he was halfway lit by the time he got to his office. And he did that every day. He had a drinking problem. And, he just could not turn it loose. He had been convicted of it, but he just still hung on to that drink. He just kept holding on to it. And one day during the wintertime, the snow was coming down, and it was school was out, evidently. And he was going to work. And as he was going to work, he was making an imprint with his shoes in the snow. And he was going directly, and he was fixing to go into that bar, that club, and get his drink. And as he looked in his peripheral vision, all of a sudden, he looks around, and he sees his 10-year-old son stepping in his footsteps. It shocks him to his core, because he was ready to open that door and go into that club, and here his son was following him. He turned around, the Lord convicted him, he took hold of that young man, and with tears and with he went to his basement, he fell on his knees with that young man, and he began to cry out for the God to forgive him, because he knew that he was a sinner. And he cried out, God, forgive me, because if I don't get forgiveness, I'm going to lead this young man, my son, straight to hell, where I've been headed all this time. And he said, God, forgive me. Forgive me, oh God. And I can see the compassion that he has in his heart. And I have that compassion for you and those people around about you. Are you really having an influence upon your people around you, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors? Are you really? Oh man, are you really having an influence? I see, I look back and I look at Abraham and I look at his faithfulness. I mean, you think about Abraham and how he was faithful. I mean, totally. Forever. He looked up to, God told him, says, look up to the stars. He says, your generations, your people, will be, all your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. Then he said, look at the sand. Your generations, all of your people, descendants from you, will be like the sand of the sea. And Abraham was faithful. He carried it to the very end. God had promised him, a son from Sarah. And, it took him 20, 25 years before that happened. But they were faithful. They believed that God was going to minister to them. At 99 years old, Abraham, God came to him and he says, you're going to have a son this time next year. And he laughed. And he couldn't, he had been waiting for 25 years, nearly 24 or so. And when Sarah heard that, she laughed. She says, how can I have a son at 90 years old? And Abraham, he was infinite. And, the wound in Sarah's, she was dried up. I mean, it was just a miracle from God that they were able to have children at that age. Wow, when you think about it, that was just a total miracle. But that was his faithfulness. Hallelujah. We look at Joshua, and we look at the strongness of Joshua. He said, I will follow the Lord. I'll be strong in the Lord. And that's what he did. He meditated on the word of God. He followed Moses. When you think about Moses and his meekness and what have you, the meekness of God, the strongness of Joshua, and how he led the children of Israel into the battles. He was faithful in going around Jericho seven times. You know, I can imagine, you know, God just kept telling him, you know, go around it another day, another day, another day, all 7 days. And finally on the seventh day, he says, I want you to do it on seven times. And when you do that, I want you to shout to the Lord and blow the trumpets. And sure enough, when that happened, the walls came falling down. Hallelujah. That was a man faithful unto God. We look at David, and I think about David and the worship songs and the psalms that he put together. I tell you what, that's a message for each one of us. We look at that, and then I look at Paul. I look at his consistency. I look at his determination. I tell you what, when you're in a cell, in a dungeon, and you could write nearly half of the New Testament from that quarters in that dungeon. I could just I could see him. It's just like, man, I can't believe that I'm in this place. But he was faithful. He was determined. He was determined to take the word of God all over the universe. He was a missionary all over the place. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to take the word of God wherever we're at. We've got to take it. And we got to be all in. And we just see something happening here, you know, in this scripture. And, you know, this young man was led astray. Are we leading people astray? You know, as an older individual, I ask myself, am I leading my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren that's going to come along? Am I going to lead them astray? Are they going to look at my life and say, you know what? Ron Lester, my great-grandfather, was dedicated unto God, and I want to be like my great-grandfather, you know. I just feel like, you know, are we, you know, if we're faithful unto the end, I just believe that God has promised us 1,000 generations down the line. My dad was faithful. You know, he got saved in 1945, I believe it was. And I tell you what, there was nobody in his family that had ever gotten saved. Him and his sister got saved. The one yes, younger than him. And my mom and dad got saved at a little, I don't know if it was a brush harbor, but it was a place that, out in the country and what have you, that had been invited by the pastor or the people there. And, he preached. He pastored 13 churches. And I tell you what, God ministered to him. He traveled back and forth across this United States to the east, into Virginia and West Virginia. I don't know how many times in Kentucky and Tennessee and what have you, preaching the word of God. And I know that God is blessing his generations, and we see it happening. I just feel like that God has a mission for each one of us. Are we, you know, who's following in your footsteps? Who is, you know, who are you leading? Oh, praise God. I just feel like, you know, who's going to be on your tombstone, that this man, this woman did not serve God, and they misled all of their children. Their children misled their children, and it's become a disaster. I just feel like that there is people out there that you are hearing my voice today, and you're saying, I need to shape up. I need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to get my act right. I need to straighten it out. I need to get off of the alcohol and the drugs. Praise God. This is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona. Hey, God bless you. We are so thrilled that you've been with us, and we trust that you have enjoyed this message. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Amen.